Good morning. Glad that you're here with us today as we are meeting together to worship God and to hear from His Word. You know, Jesus, at the end of His life here on earth, between His resurrection and His return to heaven, He made a point to give some very specific instructions to His disciples, to His followers. We know these instructions as the commissions of Jesus. One of them we even call the Great Commission. These are His expectations for His followers, both at that exact moment, but also for us today. I believe that these commissions have continued to today, and these are what we need to be doing as well. Now, I have a confession to make here this morning. This is the first time I have ever done what I'm going to do today. And here's what it is. About a little over a year ago, I had the opportunity to hear Dr. Ed Stetzer, preach at a conference down at Clark Summit University. And he's a well-known speaker. He's actually been in the news quite a bit recently with some of the stuff that's going on. He's a voice for evangelicalism and conservatism in America today. But as I listened to that message and I took notes from that message, I was just overwhelmed by what he was saying. And so I said, you know, someday I'm going to preach that message, if you will. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I've taken his outline. The framework and what I'm going to say in the outline is his. Everything else I'm responsible for. And what I mean by that is don't blame him, okay? And if you want to hear this message preached a whole lot better, you can let me know and I can tell you, I can give you the link to hear him preach this message. But the outline, the foundation of this message does come from Ed Stetzer. But this message is so important, and I think it's a great first message in our Christmas series. We're starting kind of Christmas today with this new series called Making the Most of Christmas. And there's a couple different ways to look at this idea of making the most of Christmas. The first thing is here, at the first couple of weeks, this is going to be a challenge to us to take advantage of the opportunity that Christmas provides. And then as we get closer to Christmas, we're going to transition that to saying, okay, how can I make the most of Christmas? What difference can Christmas have in my life? And that will provide a great opportunity for you to be inviting friends and loved ones who need to make the most of Christmas this year because they need to hear the message of Christmas. But today I want to start with this idea of how can we make the most of Christmas? How can we take advantage of the opportunity? Now you may say, well, what kind of opportunity is there at Christmas? And I want to say this, there is a huge opportunity when it comes to Christmas in communicating the most important thing at Christmas. Statistically speaking, typically 2 out of 10 people in America will be in church today. At some point today, 2 out of every 10 people, that it's just under that, it's 18% of all Americans will go to church somewhere on any given weekend. But did you know that at Christmas, and specifically at Christmas Eve, 50% of all people in America will go to church somewhere on Christmas Eve? You know what that means? That means 2.5 times the number of people. Okay, 18%, 20%, we're just going to round off. 20% go to church on a given weekend. That number goes to 50%. That means there's more people who will go to church on Christmas Eve than even go, in addition to the people who normally go, than who normally would go to church on a given weekend. We have an opportunity at Christmas this year. And we need to take advantage of that opportunity. And the reason I say we need to take advantage is because as I've looked at various studies, You can look at things back about 15 years ago. Lifeway did a study and found that 65% of people were likely to go to church if they were invited by a family member or friend. That if you invited someone who normally doesn't go to church, 60% of people are 60 to 65% of people are likely to go to church with you if you invite them to come with you. The reality is that in the last few years, another study has been done, and that number seems to be in decline. That number seems to be more like 50% of people. So one out of every two people that you would invite to come to church with you would come with you. And that's a statement on our culture. That's a statement on where how people are thinking and the importance and relevance that they perceive that the church has. But I look at that and I say, if over the last 15 years that has declined, we must make the most of that opportunity today. Because who knows if next year it might drop further and further and further. And the greatest opportunity for that is at Christmas. So how can we make the most of Christmas this year? As we look into God's Word this morning, I want to say this. There is an opportunity for us to hear and see, for people to hear and see and understand the importance of Christmas. And the importance of Christmas is highlighted in the final words of Jesus. You see, Jesus' final words should be our first priority. Jesus' final words should be our first priority. If you would, take out your Bibles and open them to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. If you're using one of the Bibles there in the racks, you'll find John 20 on page 1686. And I would also encourage you to take out this goldenrod sheet, at your note sheet there. Because this morning we're going to do something as we look at at four of the commissions of Jesus. Four times after his resurrection, before his going back to heaven, Jesus said he gave these commissions. Very important. We're going to look at four of them today. And in that, we're going to construct a sentence of priority for our lives. We're going to see that Jesus' final words should be our first priority, and we're going to have a sentence to help us remember that. So let's begin by looking at John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. Verse 19 says this: on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Okay, so let me set the historical stage. What's happening? It says there after. On the evening of that first day of the week, okay? That first day of the week is the day of the resurrection, all right? A few days earlier, Jesus was crucified. He was buried. He was in the grave three days, three nights in the grave. And then he rose again early on Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning, the women ran to the tomb, looked. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Go tell his disciples. They go tell his disciples. They're like, really? I'm not sure about this. And so it's that night the disciples are sitting together in this room. They've been mourning. They've been worried. They're fearful of their own lives. They're unsure of what's happening. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. He's there in the room with them and says, "Peace be with you." I'm sure I would have been a little bit scared if he just showed up out of nowhere, probably behind a locked door, since they were afraid of their lives. But what does Jesus say to them? Some of his last words were these. Verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The first part of our sentence of priority for our lives is this: we are sent. We are sent. As a follower of Jesus, you are on a mission from God. Do you know that? You are sent by God. You are sent by Jesus Christ himself. He says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. You have been sent. You have been sent to your place of employment. Tomorrow morning, you are being sent to work by God. You have been sent to your school. Tomorrow morning, when you get up and go to school, you are not going there to learn something. You're going there because God has you on a mission for Him. You are sent. Where you're living, you may think, oh, I just bought the most perfect house for myself. No, God sent you to that neighborhood because people need to know Him. You have been sent by God as a follower of Jesus. And you have to understand that you are on a mission for Him. Charles Spurgeon, a 19th century preacher, once said this. He said this about our being sent. He says, every Christian here is either a missionary or an imposter. God has sent you on a mission. And if you're not on God's mission, then as Spurgeon says, you're an imposter. You may not even be a follower of Jesus. That's his challenge. You have been sent by God. But here's the thing. When you buy into that mission, you will do whatever it takes to accomplish it. No sacrifice too big. No comfort. I'm willing to give up any comfort. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. When I understand that I'm on a mission from God, and it's more important than me, and it has a greater value than what I might have, I will do whatever it takes to accomplish that mission. When we understand that we are sent by God on a mission, we will understand that our mission is more important than our comfort. How did he send us? Look at verse 21 again. He says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. How did God send Jesus? How did God send the Son from heaven to this earth? 1 John tells us that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be beaten and crucified in your place for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how the Father sent the Son. And as the Father sent the Son, Jesus says, I am sending you. Jesus said in another passage, Jesus said, I'm sending you like lambs to the wolves. Jesus said, hey, if people hate you, don't worry about it. They hated me first. One of the greatest marketing campaigns of all time. Follow me and life's gonna get harder. Too many times we don't like that. Because we think, we view our Christianity like our Americanized perspective of this is easy. Or it should be easy. We need the easy button for Christianity. And Jesus said, throw that out. As the Father sent me to a hard life crucifixion, I'm sending you. But when I send you, twice in this passage he says, peace be with you. How can you have peace when you have been sent into a crazy, out-of-control place? You have peace because you know your mission is bigger than you. You have peace because the Prince of Peace has said there's a greater priority than your comfort today, but it's your eternal hope and the hope of the world. We have been sent by God on a mission. And it's worth it. Jesus' last word should be our first priority. We are sent. Our sentence of priority continues over in Luke chapter 24. Would you turn back to Luke chapter 24? It's page 1644. Or I'm sorry, 1645 in the Bibles there in the racks if you're using that. And in here we get a few more details about how Jesus' final words are our first priority. And here's what it says, verse 36. It says that while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." All right, so let me back up. This passage is talking about the same exact time as John was. Okay, now this, Luke did research and got all of his information. Okay, and so some of it, but here's what's happening. He's like, okay, we're all here together. And Luke gave a lot more details. He was a lot more wordy than John. John said, hey, Jesus showed up and look, it's me, and they bought it. Verses 37 to 43, Luke explains all of the things that Jesus did to prove to them that he really was Jesus and he really was alive. And then we come down to verse 44. It says there, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Jesus said, hey, I'm been sent here by God to fulfill what the Old Testament said about me. And let me help you understand the mission that I was sent on. Verse 45, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Our sentence of priority continues this way. We are sent with a message. We are sent with a message. When we look here, this tells us what the message is in verse 46. Jesus says, here's what's written. Here's the message. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus would suffer, be killed, and rise again the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. The message is the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And if by faith we will simply believe, we'll repent of our sins and believe in him, God will give us the forgiveness of our sins and grant us a permanent place with him forever. He will restore our relationship with him forever. That's our message. It's a message of hope. It's a message of love. It's a message of care. It's a message of grace. And we are sent with a message. Because you notice what Jesus said in that verse? After he said, here's what the message is. It's the gospel, repentance, forgiveness of sins. He says, that will be preached. Now for many of us, we stop there and we say, oh good, that's not me. That's what you do here on Sunday mornings. No, that's not what that's talking about. When Jesus said that this message in verse 37, the message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, will be preached in his name to all nations, that is what you and I do on a day-by-day basis when we interact with people that we have been sent to. We go with a message of hope to share that with others. God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you, wants to forgive your sins. You can't accomplish it without him. You have been sent with a message. You are to be preaching this message to other people. And the reality is the gospel is the message and focus of the church. See, the gospel doesn't just save me, but the gospel prepares me for life. The gospel sends me into life and says, look, I have the gospel. God has saved me gloriously. I have hope. I don't have to worry about losing anything. I'm good with God, and I'm going to just pursue him however he wants me to. And the gospel affects me on a day-by-day basis. And the reality is this message of the gospel should be the center of our church and the center of everything that we do. The problem is it is so easy in the church to drift away toward other things that are more comfortable. It's so easy in the church to get on mission and forget the message. It's so easy in the church to spend all of our time and our energy and our efforts on lots of big programs, but never give the message. And I'm going to say this. I think if Jesus walked into the church and saw a church with lots of things on their calendar and lots of things happening, but never heard the message, he would say, that's not my church. You see, the message of the gospel is what we have been sent with. And it's not about filling our calendars. It's about sharing that message with others. It's about telling people about Him. It's about going to the world rather than trying to hunker down and be comfortable away from the world. Charles Spurgeon also said this over 140 years ago. He said, if Jesus is precious to you, you will not be able to keep your good news to yourself. You will be whispering it into your child's ear. You'll be telling it to your husband. You'll be earnestly imparting it to your friend. Without the charms of eloquence, you will be more than eloquent. Your heart will speak, your eyes will flash as you talk of His sweet love. You know what he's saying here? The point is that when we love Jesus, we will tell anybody we can. And there's not a wrong way to tell people the message of Jesus. So many times we think, oh, but I'm not eloquent enough. I can't say it the right way. You know what? This says, it doesn't matter how you say it. Just tell people about Jesus. And it will come through loud and clear that you love Jesus. But if we're not telling others the message, then we're not on the mission that God has given us to be here for. We are sent with a message. Our sentence continues over in Matthew chapter 28. Turn back a little bit farther. Matthew 28, page 1554. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is a passage known, a lot of times we turn to this one. It's the Great Commission. Therefore, go, you are sent, and make disciples, you have a message, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We are sent with a message to all kinds of people. We are sent with a message to all kinds of people. In this passage, I just want us to focus on three words. Three words here. And it's right there. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Here's what those three words in the Greek say this. Panta ta ethne. Panta means all. Ta means the. Ethne. We translate it nations. What do you hear? When you hear the word ethne, that's where we get our English word ethnic. All the ethnics. You see, when we hear this, when we read this translation, we hear all the nations, we immediately think of Canada and the United States and China and Japan and Zimbabwe and all of the nations. You know what? That's not what this says. Because those didn't exist when Jesus said this. There were no nations. Actually, the way it would have been understood by the Jews was all the nations was referring to anybody who wasn't a Jew. It was all the Gentiles. And even the Gentiles were really different people groups. There were like the Asian Gentiles, you know, they didn't use that word, but like there were these and there were those and these other ones. It really, this idea of ethne refers to culture, people groups or cultures. People who gathered around a specific kind of culture or way of doing life. And Jesus said that we are sent with a message to all the ethnes. All of them. For any of us who are not Jewish by nationality and by practice, which I think applies to most of us, we should be thankful that the disciples believed and obeyed Jesus to go to all the ethnes. Because we are a part of the ethne. We are a culture. We are a people group that didn't know, wouldn't have known Jesus if somebody hadn't left their comfort of their people group to come tell us about Jesus. Who left their culture. The church spread from one people group to another until one day it reached you and me. And really, this says we are to continue to do that. We are to continue to, we are sent with a message to all kinds of people, to all kinds of different people. We must go to them. And it doesn't matter, all different cultures. And you know what's interesting? You don't have to go very far anymore. You see, there are all different kinds of people right here in the Southern Tier. There are all different cultures of people right here in our community. I would venture a guess to say this, that as fast as culture is changing here in America, I think there are different peoples, different kinds of people who look just like you, but that you have absolutely nothing in common with right here in our town. There's the obvious people who look different than me, but the people who look just like you, but are, have nothing, you have nothing in common with, you are called, you are sent with a message to them. Their culture is not our culture. And we are sent with a message to all different kinds of people. God did not call us to change them into our culture. He called us to go into their culture with a message of Jesus and translate it into their culture and reach them with the gospel in their culture. I mean, think about it. If we had a missionary who was going to Africa somewhere, he would not build this in Africa. And if he did, we would fire him. Because church doesn't look like this around the world. How many of you have ever been in church around the world? Does it look like this? Not at all. And you know what? If we go try to plant this, this is not being sent with a message to all kinds of people. This is trying to conform people to what we think we want and who we are and where we are comfortable. No, God says, you get out of your comfort zone and go with a message to all kinds of people. To people you don't like, go with a message. To people who aren't like you, who don't think like you, go with my message. Understand them, get to know them, and translate my message into their language and reach them with the gospel in their culture. This takes us being willing to become uncomfortable, to move out of our comfort zones, and to go on a mission with a message of grace and truth. A message of love and hope, a message of repentance and forgiveness to all different kinds of people. To meet them where they are, not make them like us, but let them see Jesus through us. We are sent with a message to all kinds of people. This message, our priority, our message, our sentence of priority ends over in Acts chapter 1. Would you turn to Acts chapter 1? It's page 1690. In Acts chapter 1, it's been 40 days since Jesus rose from the dead. And Luke records for us the final word, the absolute final words that Jesus spoke before he went back to heaven. And this is what it says. And this will conclude our sentence of priority. It says this, verse 4, Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are sent with a message to all kinds of people, empowered by the Spirit. You are not going on this journey by yourself. You have the power of the Holy Spirit as a follower of Jesus living inside of you to help you share that message, to go where it's uncomfortable, to go to people you don't like or you're scared of or you're not sure about, and to give them the message of hope. The Holy Spirit goes with you and empowers you when you go to work tomorrow morning to take a message of hope to all kinds of people there. The Holy Spirit empowers you and goes with you when you go walk into school tomorrow morning and you see that person who looks nothing like you, to give them a message of grace and truth. The Holy Spirit goes with you and empowers you to take the message into your neighborhood. A message of hope and love of God. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Almighty God living inside of you, walking with you, and you can take this message to others. I think it's interesting here. I think in all of these passages, you can see each of these pieces in one way or another. You say, well, why don't you just preach one of them? Well, the reason is because I wanted us to see this was so important. It's in there five different times. It's also in Mark as well, but five different times. We are sent with a message to all kinds of people empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're sent to share the gospel with people who need to know Him. The Samaritans in this passage, the Samaritans aren't like the people who are even farther away. The Samaritans were actually people who lived right there with them, but weren't like them. They were people that the Jews hated. They lived right in the middle of Israel, and the Jews did whatever they could to avoid them. We are sent with a message to the people who live right with us, who are nothing like us, that we normally try to avoid. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to take that message to them and let the Holy Spirit change their lives. We're sent with a message to all kinds of people, even those we don't like. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to reach them despite our hesitations. You see, Christmas is an opportunity that we need to make the most of. It's an opportunity to accomplish the mission that God put us here on this earth to do. It's an opportunity because people are happier unless they're shopping or they're stressed out. But overall, they're happier. Christmas is an opportunity because, I don't know about you, but at Christmas, this time of year, I change the radio station I always listen to on my radio in my car. I don't listen to the Christian radio station anymore. I listen to a secular station that plays Christmas music 24/7 from now until Christmas, not before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's over, we can now listen to Christmas music. Crank it up, girls, okay? But that's what I do. And you know what I hear? I love hearing, like, Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer, and I like to hear, you know, All I Want for Christmas is a Hippopotamus, you know, some of my favorite songs. But you know what's interesting? You also hear Silent Night on that radio station. You also hear, and I can't remember the name of the song, second verse, so I can't remember it. But the song goes, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, the message of the gospel, and everybody's listening to it. What an opportunity for the gospel. Because they're willing to listen. They want to come to church. Did you know that? 50% of all people will come to church. That's 2.5 times the normal number of people come to church at Christmas just because it's Christmas. And we shouldn't miss the opportunity to share the hope of Jesus with them. And so this, I was thinking about this. We gave out these calendars today, and it's easy to look at this and say, wow, there's a lot going on. But you know what? These are opportunities that you must make the most of this Christmas season. If Jesus' final words are going to be your first priority, ladies, you need to be at the Lady Christmas dinner, and you need to have someone with you who doesn't know Jesus. That's why we do it. You need to go out and buy another ticket to sit at your table and be there to hear the message of Jesus. You know what? You might say, I've already got a full table of all my Christian friends. Split the table in two, buy another table, and all of you go invite an unsaved friend with you. Make the most of Christmas this year. Teenagers, you know what? There's Christmas parties on here. And I'm talking to the staff, you know what? Those Christmas parties shouldn't just be all fun and games. You need to make the most of that opportunity and share the real reason for Christmas. You don't have to spend 45 minutes doing it. 5 minutes may be all, that's all the Holy Spirit needs. Let them know why we celebrate Christmas. It's hope, it's love, it's forgiveness, it's getting rid of the guilt and shame. You know what? There's an opportunity for our children and their families there on the 20th. The right on the crease, the Caltabs Kids Jingle Jam. You're like, what in the world is this? I don't know. I haven't been there yet, but I'm going to be there, and I'm going to have a blast. Okay, here's what it is. We're going to be down in the gym, and they're going to share the message of Jesus. We're going to invite everybody who came to Trunk or Treat, and I hope they all show up, and we don't have enough to go around, because they're going to hear about Jesus. Bring your friends. Bring your friends and their families to hear about Jesus. Show up even if you don't have kids, and share Jesus with the message. And you know what? Those Christmas services are such an opportunity. I'm telling you, on the 17th, we're going to share the gospel. On the 24th, we're going to share the gospel twice, in the morning and in the evening. They're going to be different. You can come both times. You can bring different people to different times. You know what? I'd love to fully pack this place out and have standing room only and kick some of you out of here on Christmas Eve. You know what? I challenge you to do that. We are sent with a message to all kinds of people, empowered by the Holy Spirit. God wants to do something amazing this Christmas season. And you never know when it's your last opportunity to make the most of Christmas for Jesus.